listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
We're a small crowd this morning. Is anybody willing? In remembering that children have a short attention span, is anybody willing to share what they would say? What the word incarnate means?
Yeah, Nancy. Say it again.
To become man.
To become man.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Become flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Human.
Become human.
Today is the first Sunday of 2014. It is the 12th day of Christmas and the second Sunday of Christmas. It's the last time we'll be together with all the Christmas decorations in this space for another year. So it's wonderful to enjoy them together once again and celebrate this Christmas season together. It's not the Christmas story that we read on Christmas Eve, but the story that I just shared, the text from the Gospel of John, this is John's Christmas story from John chapter 1. John doesn't have the same agenda as Luke, and on Christmas Eve we read from Luke the story that we're all familiar with. The emphasis of Luke is God siding always with the poor and the marginalized, God being made known to the shepherds, being born in a poor, lowly manger. It's not like the Gospel of Matthew either, which has yet another emphasis with the wise men. Again, hope you read that story tomorrow on Epiphany, Matthew chapter 2. The story of the wise men, the story, in other words, of God with us, moving stars and influencing world powers and world leaders for better and for worse as that story unfolds and we see these people travel these great distances across great lands and threaten the powers of the land at that time, Herod and the Roman Empire eventually as well. No, John's Christmas story is more abstract. It's more cosmic. I think it's kind of hard to grasp sometimes. The Word became flesh and dwells among us. Merry Christmas. This emphasizes God becoming Jesus. All of John's gospel does. In case there's any confusion in the other gospels, John clears it up for us. God is Jesus. Jesus is God. There is no separation. Wrap your head around that one. The Son of God is God. You can't wrap your head around it. Don't worry about wrapping your head around it. This is the mystery of the divine. The unexplainable truth becomes flesh and lives among us. This is the Gospel of John. I've had that melody, Putting on the Ritz, stuck in my head as a contrast. You know that melody, that song? If you're blue and you don't know where to go, why don't you go where fashion sits, putting on the Ritz. Maybe some of you put on the Ritz for New Year's Eve or Christmas. We all put on our finest. But what about instead? If you're blue and you don't know where to go, then God comes close and breathes our breath, putting on our flesh. Incarnate means literally in flesh. God moves into our midst, not just into our neighborhood like a quiet neighbor that pretty much just leaves us alone. No, God moves into our midst, meaning God moves into our bones, like into our circulatory systems, quietly but surely giving us life, breathing our breath. The divine, the mystery of the triune God, embedded right into our skin, right into our flesh. Is that kind of creepy? Or do you like the idea? Either way, this is our truth, that God is deeply with us, sisters and brothers in Christ, according to John's Christmas story, which, by the way, tells us that this has been the reality since the very beginning. For John, the Christmas story, and Jesus himself is there at the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God's been there all along, and God is that same Christ Jesus. So what does this mean for us, this abstract concept? Who cares, really, right? In 2014, it's great that some poet in about 100 AD thinks that Jesus is God and God is Jesus, and this Jesus God moves into our being and even into our flesh. But how does this really shake out in our everyday lives? Well, for one thing, it reminds us that God is no longer confined to somewhere way up there or somewhere long ago. Long ago, galaxy far, far away, like Star Wars says. I don't like it when people talk about God living way up there in heaven, as if God doesn't live right here, right now. It's as if they've never read the Gospel of John, where God becomes flesh and dwells among us. Didn't they ever, especially Christians, I think, didn't they ever read John's Christmas story? God becomes flesh and dwells among us. Only at the end of the Gospel of Luke do we have that story where Jesus ascends up into heaven, and that happens almost synonymously with the Pentecost experience, where the Spirit of God then blows in and through the people. It's just another version of God comes close and breathes our breath, putting on our flesh. God gets specific, you see? Even in that cosmic text from John, God gets specific and puts on your flesh. On one hand, it's abstract, but on the other, God's presence and love couldn't be more concrete. Embedded into our everyday flesh and bones, into our everyday life, embedded into our everyday water, which you walked past this morning to come in here, embedded into our everyday wheat and wine. That's everyday stuff. But thanks be to God for this refresher this morning, the second Sunday of Christmas, this refresher in incarnational theology. Because frankly, I think it's easy even today in 2014 to keep separating out nicely and neatly the body and the spirit. The body is earthly, the spirit is heavenly. But John's gospel and our Lutheran faith upon which this is based mixes it all up. Christ incarnate and dwelling among us means that the earthly and the heavenly come together. That the body and the spirit are joined, not just to be kind of esoterically flashy and cool, not just to make some New Year's fireworks or pizzazz or Ritz. No, but for our sake, God does this. God joins heaven and earth as the divine chooses to live among us, right smack into our broken, dried out, cracked, or covered up skin. It means that God, in fact, was and is the one in the manger. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, God in the manger, the feeding trough, the slop bucket of our lives. God is right there with us in it and through it, and that's where it connects to our everyday lives. Ah. So even in our pain, God sits and stays with us. Even if no one else does? Ah. So even in our stresses about this new year, even though everyone's talking about hope and joy and happiness and starting all over in fresh new ways, but I'm really freaking out inside and I have no idea what might be coming next or how I'm going to make it, even in that, God is with me? Ah. So even when I feel so ashamed about things that I've done in the past, or even things that I'm doing right now, God hasn't left me yet. Oh, God in the manger, God with us in our everyday lives. January is a hard time. Recovering from the holidays, paying off the debts, amping up somehow for another round, working off the Christmas pound, it can be overwhelming. There can be quite a wake in January from the disasters or tragedies that may have happened in December, another hard month. And yet God refuses to go back into the box with the nativity figurines. God chooses to stay right beside you and me, embedded, incarnated love, living in the fiber of your very being. Ah. God gets specific. This is the gift, once again, of the Christ child who shines in the darkness. God gets specific. We're about to sing a new hymn this new year. I don't think we've sung this before, and we'll sing it all through the month, but it is a beautiful older melody. But the words were just written a few years ago by a woman who was experiencing great pain in the form of a loved one with Alzheimer's disease. How's that for getting specific? The song is called When Memory Fades, and the first two verses really seem to cry out to God in pain and agony when this terrible disease hits. Whatever the disease is, in this case it's Alzheimer's, but just naming that sorrow and that pain, why me? How could you do this to me, God? This, by the way, is just like what the psalmist did in most of the Psalms in the Old Testament. Why me, God? Why are you doing this to me? It's good to name that pain and that sorrow, but underneath, in this beautiful hymn, underneath this pain and this sorrow, this admission of our human frailty, whether it's our minds or our bodies or our spirits, underneath all of that, the hymn identifies, it names, it praises the eternal promise of God's arms upholding us even while ours fail. It names and it praises God's mind enfolding us, never forgetting, and God's heart saving ours and our lives at the last. We rest in the peace of this eternal promise. Salvation is ours through this incarnated Jesus Christ, who is God. Thanks be to God for that, who dwells with us this very moment and on into eternity. Amen. I invite you to stand now as you're able. Turn to hymn number 792 and let's sing together When Memory Fades.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.